After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
Today, we have a special guest with us, and it's a woman.
Oh, no.
That was a terrible intro. We have
that was
a
so creepy.
Friend, yeah, I know. We have a friend of the show, an old friend of all of ours from college, Jen Weedman. Jennifer.
Oh!
Welcome to the show, After School Special Podcast. Today, we're talking about soundtracks. Specifically, and this was Jen's idea too, which awesome idea, Jen, by the way. We're talking original scores, compiled soundtracks as well. And John, my friend, you have a list, don't you?
I do
not
have a
Schindler's list. No, just a regular list.
Yeah. You always go more
songs.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, always.
Yeah,
I'll
throw that in there.
Well, we're not going to get famous because of me.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, so I do have a list. Now, granted, this list is from 2018. It's dated, but it did update enough to put Straight Outta Compton on there and put on there A Star Is Born. So it did update for those. I wasn't a fan of that one, so I don't know.
I was going to say real quick, Jennifer, say hello to the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Jen. Hello. It is me. I am a female here to break barriers.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, congratulations, you guys.
Thanks, man.
Yes. Yay.
John, please continue with your list, my friend. Also, does this encompass, like, is there a certain decade, or does this encompass all movies and soundtracks within these time frames?
This is the 40 greatest movie soundtracks of all time.
All time.
Of all time. So we'll start with number 40, which is Straight Outta Compton, which, if anybody doesn't know what that movie is about, you are a fucking fool. Seriously. So.
Do you agree with that? Does everybody agree with that, though? 40 already? Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, it's from, yeah, so that's 2015, which, man, time is just flying. I didn't realize that came out in 2015. So.
I didn't either.
No. Yeah, it's Straight Outta Compton, which is the NWA biopic. And so it includes some A-listers like George Clinton and Roy Ayers, who helped to inspire Dr. Dre's laid-back, bass-heavy West Coast sound. So it has recordings from the 80s and 90s and pretty cool origin story of NWA. Just to keep in mind, I want to give reference. This list is from Vulture, so it's another one. Number 38. Are you guys ready for this one? Romeo
please.
Juliet.
Okay, there were some bangers on that.
Like the Baz Luhrmann?
Baz Luhrmann,
yeah. Okay.
I remember specifically, and this is from when I was like in sixth grade class, did this play, The Princess Frog. Our teacher based it around the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet and did his own soundtrack, and it was extremely sexually suggestive, and it was sixth graders.
Oh, my God.
Sixth graders. And this guy was later on fired, but like it was the most ridiculous thing ever, and we were supposed to do a play. He was our literature teacher, and then I think it was me that, like, Gingerbread Man, you can't catch me, you know, as fast you can catch me, Gingerbread Man. Anyways, something like that, and he was going to do Baz Luhrmann style, and I said that, okay, mind you, this was the time I did use the R word, I won't say it here, but I said that was R word.
Oh, yeah.
And then it got
Rich?
The whole play canceled. Yes, Rich. Yeah. Rich, that's exactly what I said, Don.
I can't believe that he used that for inspiration. He's like, well, if I'm going to get fired, it's going to be artistically. I'm going out with a bang.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Actually, he got fired for beating on a kid.
Oh, wow. That's in the opposite direction of creating this tour de force.
Yeah. My school, I have no problem saying Emmanuel Lutheran. Terrible school.
Yeah.
Terrible school.
Yeah. So I do remember them doing a iteration of When Doves Cry with this boys choir on that soundtrack.
Yeah.
That was solid. I remember that.
Yeah, great.
Like still chills. Chills. Mm-hmm. So moving on, 37 is Marie Antoinette, 2006. Sophia Coppola.
That movie, there's only, what is it? It's a New Order song, right?
Yeah.
As we're going through this list, too, I was going to ask certain questions and whatnot. So when we get to the fifth one, I'll ask my question, surprise, and see what your guys' answers are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So what are you guys' memories of Marie Antoinette? I can tell you right now, I don't have any. I would have got my black card taken immediately.
Yeah, we have none.
Yeah, so
no musical recollections at all.
No, none.
I mean,
whatsoever.
I can see images, but no.
Yeah,
I remember the ad for it, but that's about it. I don't.
Yeah. It's like Kristen Dunst and Jason Schwartzman being themselves as like it, as French royalty back in the 1800s or something.
Is it a comedy?
No, it's the movie. Yes, it should be a comedy, but it is not a comedy. It is supposed to be taken seriously and.
Yeah. I think the art direction was probably really great on it, but musically, I don't remember anything.
Completely agree. Musically and directing in general, Sofia Coppola is very good, don't get me wrong, but that movie in particular, fuck.
All right, so 37.
What the fuck was that?
I burped. It was a belch. Sorry, John, please continue.
But you did it so fancy.
You guys, John is trying to be... on focus here. And
I know.
We are just a bunch of goof-offs.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys heard of this one, but 36 Eden, 2014. Have you guys heard of that one? Eden?
No.
Okay, so we'll just skip on past that. So.
Now, does it say, like, the composers for any of these, like, soundtrack?
It just tells you the filmmaker, but it's not.
I think it's a lot of these are compiled because the Romeo and Juliet, Straight Outta Compton. I think these are they're not original scores.
Yeah.
They're multiple. You know, like Romeo and Juliet was like Radiohead and like all these other bands in it and shit.
Yep. So you have 36 is Eden, 35 is The Mambo King, 1992. That is with Antonio Banderas. Did you guys...
What kind of music's in that?
Oh, well, I mean, it's the Mambo King, so...
Take a guess, Aaron.
The song that stood out was Oscar-nominated Beautiful Maria of My Soul, performed in English by Los Lobos. Do you guys know who they are?
Yes, I do.
I know who they are, but I don't know that song.
Yeah, I don't know it either.
And I'm surprised I haven't seen this film.
Yeah.
I think, Antonio Banderas' movies were, like, a staple at my house. Maybe
same here.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Everything.
Did your mom say he's handsome?
Well, Aaron and I both have Spanish mothers.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Antonio Banderas. Yeah, most definitely. Anything with him was my mom had every she would go out and buy like 5 VHSs and then she'd buy 2 DVDs. And then when DVDs went on sale, she'd come back with 10 DVDs. She has like cases and cases and cases of DVDs.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Not just Antonio Banderas.
I loved him too, man.
So, just the premise of it is the film The Mambo King is a stirring story about how music helped two immigrant brothers find a place in America. The winning performance of Tito Puente, Celia Cruz, and Arturo Sandoval helped to sell the tale.
Oh, yeah. Celia Cruz is in it.
Yeah, I like her. May she rest in peace. But wow, she was a very glamorous woman, and she could sing.
Yeah.
Yeah. 34 is Judgment Night. Do you guys...
With Emilio Estevez? Yeah, wasn't it like they're being hunted or something in a city or whatnot? Or maybe I'm thinking New Jack City. I get everything mixed up with New Jack City. I don't know what it is.
Judgment Night had a pretty interesting squad of music. They had Body Count, Anthrax, Urban Dance Squad, Beastie Boys.
Oh.
Yeah, Emilio Estevez. Pretty sure Emilio Estevez is in that movie.
Yeah. And they also had some unlikely collaborators in the studio. De La Soul with Teenage Fan Club, Sir Mix-a-Lot with Mudhoney, House of Pain with Helmet, and Cypress Hill with both Sonic Youth and Pearl Jam.
Holy shit.
Ooh.
I need to watch this movie. Yeah,
this sounds great.
Yeah, so you got that
You said Helmet with Cypress Hill?
And Sonic Youth? Wait, no.
House of Pain with Helmet and Cypress Hill with both Sonic Youth and Pearl Jam.
That's nuts.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, so that was 34.
I was going to ask a question real quick. Jen, what is your favorite soundtrack of all time?
I do like, I think it's Ice Dance from Edward Scissorhands. I really, really love.
Okay.
Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman?
Yeah, Danny Elfman. Yeah,
a specific song. But I don't know if I could pick an entire soundtrack. Depends on my mood. Depends on what soundtrack is running in my head.
Yeah.
Are you guys like me where you will put those soundtracks on your phone and play it in the car when you like driving?
I have the whole Lord of the Rings soundtrack on my phone.
Of course you do.
I had the original Batman soundtrack. When I would drive at night, I would put that on when I'm driving and be speeding through the neighborhood.
What is that?
Yeah, that's the one.
Hell yeah. So, Aaron, when you, like, in your car, you're, like, on a quest, and that's why you put on the Lord of the Rings music, like...
No, I put it on at work, so that way it takes me to Middle Earth and out of my body, because I hate my job so much.
Yeah.
And I'd rather be a hobbit.
I know we talked about The Hobbit, but I do like one of the songs on there. It's Misty Mountain. I love that one. Yeah, yeah. So I'll find myself singing that when I'm trying to do yard work.
The Rankin Bass version is so much better.
Yeah.
Continue, John. I am
sure. Sorry. No, it's all right. 33 is River's Edge, 1986. Known as one of the bleakest movies ever made about American teenagers.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves and Crispin Glover, I think.
Yeah. It follows a bunch of small town burnouts conspiring to cover up a murder committed by one of the friends.
Yeah.
And it is accompanied, has the harshest soundtrack ever recorded. At the time when other 80s high school movies were pepped up by jangly college rock and bouncy British synth pop, River's Edge leaned on the bludgeoning sludge of Slayer, Hallows Eve, and Fate's Warning.
God, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm bludgeoning.
I love the writing. Whoever wrote
the
this,
writing
this
is
great.
So, yeah. Like,
if you listen to it,
it's fancy stuff happening.
Yeah. You're getting bludgeoned when you listen.
Bludgeoning
sludge. That's a great band name.
Yeah.
So 32 is Rock and Roll High School, 1979. Never seen this. Never
heard
of it.
Ramones, baby.
Yeah, the Ramones. Though this self-conscious, goofy comedy is about teenagers who desperately want to meet the Ramones, the soundtrack actually is a hodgepodge of late 70s new wave and art rock, putting arguably the most important American punk band of all in the context of performers like Nick Lowe, Brian Eno, I know who Eno is, Devo, and Todd Rundgren. Still, what makes this an essential document are the Ramones songs that jet-fueled the title track, the swinging retro ballad I Want You Around, and the 11-minute live medley that preserves the stage presence that made this band into rebel heroes. I like the Ramones, too.
You ever have a band that you love but you never really listen to? That's
the Ramones?
They're the Ramones, yes. Yeah.
If I love a band, I listen to them.
I love the idea of them.
I'm no poser, bro.
Well, I'm no maybe I am.
I'm the opposite. Like, if I find a band that I've never heard of, I'll go look them up. Like, somebody was talking about the Smiths the other day, and I was like, I've never heard of them. So I had to go look
was
them
Aaron
up.
Is that
do I listen to the Smiths? Oh, that's like I've heard that before. You son of a bitch.
You say them every fucking time we mention bands.
The Smiths, the Smiths, the Smiths.
So the Smiths are good, too, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, number 30, Boogie Nights. Hey, so Boogie Nights was a good one.
Great soundtrack. A lot of dong hanging. Hang dong.
Yeah.
Was it Dirt Diggler?
Dirt
Diggler.
And Little Jack Horner was director. Burt Reynolds. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that movie, that was directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah. And I assure you, we will. Fuck. Sorry. I assure you, we will have more Paul Thomas Anderson films in this list. Yeah. Especially There Will Be Blood. There Will Be Blood has to be on this
list. I thought you didn't like that film. I love that film.
I love that movie.
That was a good soundtrack, even though it didn't really have a lot of music. I
love that movie, and I will say right now, anyone that says Oil by Upton Sinclair is better than the movie, you're an idiot. One, because I can't understand half the shit that's in that fucking book. And two, it's just better because of Daniel Day-Lewis.
That's the rare thing where I've heard somebody say that the movie is better than the book.
It's just too much.
Oh, really?
Like literature-wise, it's amazing and whatnot, but I am smooth-brained.
Yeah.
We'll just say that, and movies do it more for me than books. Yeah. And then I got to do audiobooks.
Smooth brain.
Smooth brain.
What are you drinking over there?
Coffee. Lots of coffee.
Lots of wine over here. We're having good goddamn time.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. You hear it?
So 29 is Empire Records.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
What? Are you serious? That's like a quintessential like 90s movie. That's like,
I saw it under bad circumstances. Maybe that's what it was.
Because the new generation, the kids that are in middle school and high school and whatnot, they're obsessed with the 90s for some reason.
They are, because right now the fashion is just coming right back around to the 90s.
When we went to Boogie Fever, Don.
Yes.
They were all like 12-year-olds in there.
They're 12.
Really?
And they were playing like 90s stuff, and we were like, what? How do they know this?
This guy, high on cocaine, he came up to Jen and I. He was like, I just like your vibe.
I like your vibe. He's got what, white powder on his nose? I was gonna say Empire Records, quintessential. Like, that wasn't the first soundtrack that I bought, but it was damn near at least the second or third that I can remember.
I'm gonna tell you right now, they had a plethora of people on here. So they had Gin Blossom, Better Than Ezra, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Cracker, and the Cranberries.
Sponge. What about Sponge? Sponge on there?
They didn't mention Sponge.
I think it's Sponge is the one song, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but everyone knows it. And Sponge is from Michigan, but it's the...
I used to practice where they used to practice.
Yeah.
Well, every band in Michigan practiced at the Law.
Okay.
I practiced there.
I'm sure you did. No.
Hey, so 28 is singles. 1992, Cameron Crowe.
I was
Pearl.
Just going to say that. Mm-hmm. Like, well, if Empire is on here, I know singles is on here. Alice in Chains, and I think Pearl Jam's on here.
Yeah.
Soundgarden.
Yeah. So it makes Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Mudhoney. Those were some of the... And they were friends of Cameron Crowe.
Yes.
So,
who's from Seattle, right?
Yes.
If you can remember off CD or tape or whatever, what was the first soundtrack that you ever bought?
Ooh.
You guys remember?
The first soundtrack that I ever bought.
First one I can think of, Blade. That was the first one.
The soundtrack for Blade?
Blade was so good. It was a lot of techno, but it was like, it had a Mystical song on there.
Yeah, Mystical. Hell yeah, man.
But no, it had a lot of good songs on here. Blade 2. Had a good soundtrack too, but Blade, definitely Blade. I think that's when I started realizing, like, you can buy CDs from like the Salvation Army. Shit. So
yeah.
What about you, John?
I downloaded the Batman soundtrack.
Oh, Napster.
I was late. Yeah, Napster. I was late to the game, dude. So I didn't go buy anything. I downloaded that. I can tell you my very first cassette that I bought, though. I probably get some shit for it. It was Jennifer Lopez on the Six.
Jesus,
man, I love J-Lo, man. I can't lie. Like, I love J-Lo. If You Had My Love was a fantastic song.
Jen, do you remember your first soundtrack that you purchased?
I want to say, I am a lady. I want to say, I think it was probably Now and Then, which had a lot of 60s, 70s music on it.
Yeah, that was Rosie O'Donnell and...
Demi Moore was in that.
Mm-hmm. I remember I think you and I watched a lot of similar movies only because our moms seem pretty similar.
Yeah.
I think in their taste in movies. Because that, and then Terms of Endearment. Did your mom watch Terms of Endearment a lot? Because my mom did. And then I'd go into her room and she'd be bawling her eyes out. That was pretty awkward.
I don't think a lot, but yes, I've seen that. But my first cassette, and I still have it, is like the whole Jackson 5 collection.
Oh, no shit.
There you go.
Because nice. I was, at one point, I don't know how or why, but I was obsessed with the Jackson 5.
We all were.
No, yes. I mean, it's valid, but I don't know how I got there. Because neither of my parents were particularly over the moon about the Jackson. I mean, they both liked them, but...
Those kind of artists, they just get passed down some kind of way, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? That is so much, that's a lot better than mine, because mine was Garth Brooks. My mom loved Garth Brooks. All we listened to was fucking Garth Brooks. All the time.
Garth Brooks.
I like Garth Brooks.
If
anyone's a serial killer, it's him.
No way, man. No way.
The one that I had was kind of weird because I got it gifted from my dad.
Yeah.
First soundtrack I ever got was The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's kind of what fed my love for Western films. But that was Ennio Morricone.
Yeah.
Maricon? Did we just cuss?
If Tomorrow Never Comes. That's the name of it. If Tomorrow Never Comes.
Garth Brooks.
Barf Brooks.
There you go.
Remember that time, like he had another persona that did like,
Chris Gaines?
Yeah.
Ennio Morricone. That's his name.
Ah, see, I was close. I said Morricone.
that's a good soundtrack too. A lot of spaghetti westerns had very good orchestral soundtracks.
I'd actually, you know what? Favorite soundtrack for me, Godzilla 1985. That's where I'm going to go.
Okay. Boom. I thought you were going to go 1998 with Puff Daddy on that one.
That's what I thought.
Doing the little shake. Yeah.
The Harlem Shake. Yeah.
Take that.
I thought that's where you were going, man. I was hoping you would go there.
Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy. So, hey, check this out. Number 27. Once.
God.
Yes.
Once.
It's good.
Yeah,
the Irish film. Glenn Hensard.
I know that one.
And it's beautiful music.
Yeah,
it's really well. The film itself is really well done.
Well, Jen, I'll let you describe what was the film about. I think I know it, but
This is guitarist. He's a busker in Ireland, and he meets this pianist, and they collaborate. And there's like a secondary love story, but really at the heart of it, it's about the music, and it's great.
And that's why I liked it. It was about the music. Mm-hmm. None of those dumbass.
Hey, you look good. We both like look like we should be together.
It was a good. Did you see that, Aaron? You're looking perplexed.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
You really did.
I remember I saw it. It was like on a first date. I then didn't care about the date because I was actually pretty enthralled in the film. And yeah, we didn't go on another one after that. So
you'll watch that kind of film for a first date? I wouldn't watch that.
I don't go to movies. I don't go to movies on first dates now because I'm still with my girlfriend.
You locked up.
Yeah, on dates after, I think it was actually after that one. I didn't go see movies after that because if I'm going on a date, I want to talk. I want, you know, like if you're going on a date to go to a movie, it's more like a throwaway, you know? Right. So it's like I want to be able to talk to the person, so I get a little bit of wine. But
unless it's a comedy, it was for coffee. Me. Unless it's something funny, then I'll do that.
I think there's movies that you can go to and just throw them in the garbage.
Okay, so if I was gonna say if it's me and I'm in a theater, I'm focused on the movie. If she's like, "So what do you do?" Like, shut up.
But don't you think comedies are different, Aaron? Or you
don't
guys?
Don't you see Jim Carrey's on the screen?
Yeah, I was just gonna say I went on a date to go see Bruce Almighty, and it was so funny. The first opening night, it was so funny. The guy in front of me almost died laughing because he kept rocking his chair back on my knees, and I was just hurt. I was laughing, but I was hurting at the same time. So I didn't know which feeling to go with because he's just dying in that chair.
But was that a good date?
It was a great date. It was fantastic. Exactly. We both laughed. But you want to talk about a bad date? Take a girl to go see The Passion of the Christ. Now, that ruined the mood. Like, we were both crying.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, I did that. We both were, it wasn't nothing else playing.
How can you not cry at that? No matter how you feel about any religion, how can you not cry seeing a human being just get their ass whooped for an hour?
Yeah, we were both crying, and I was like, well, I guess this is the last time I see you, right? We went, because that was the only thing playing late, and we wanted to go out. She wanted to get out of her parents' house. So I was like, all right, let's go to the movies. So I'm thinking, all right, Passion of the Christ can't be that bad. And then we went and saw it, and I was just like, fuck Mel Gibson. Like, what the fuck?
You're insane.
Yeah, I know. I
John, you're insane. I'm sorry. You're insane. You're my friend. Time,
and even though when Easter comes around and they play it, I never watch it because I always think of how bad that girl must have felt because we went to go watch that.
I was going
to
say, perfect date, laser tag.
Laser tag.
Yeah. Or I was going to say a comedy show.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, comedy show. Laser tag, you could be cutesy, but at the same time show competitive spirit. And if she's on the other team, you could destroy her. Never let anyone win. Always win. Win. Push.
You. Well, what's a good one, Jen? We need a female perspective on this. What's a good one?
Well, I think when people go to see a movie on a date, it's usually, like, it's not about the movie, usually.
Right.
It's, it like John said, it's like a throwaway.
Yeah.
Or maybe Aaron said that. No, it was John. The wine is getting to me. Because I think it's probably more of a stepping stool to just kind of get physical. Because if you're not really talking to each other, I would imagine that's kind of the aim.
But what if you... Well, you have to have...
Wait, physical in the movie theater?
Not necessarily. It's like a, you know, just getting you ready.
Yeah, you're getting ready to bump uglies.
Yeah.
That's like a cold opening, though. Like, okay, we meet. And if we go straight to the movies, there's no build-up.
Well, there's two types of movies, though, Don. You got the actual movies where you're going to go watch a film. And then you got the dollar show where you know something's about to go down.
And you usually bring a jacket with you, even if it's not cold.
Yeah. I'd be in the dollar show with a parka on. Like, it's so, like 90 degrees out.
we're in this scenario, we're presupposing that we've already talked about certain things that we're going to do before the movies. And then when we actually get there, we're not really there for the movies. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it depends on which tier you're in. Because if I'm paid $20. Yeah, if I pay $20 to go to a movie, I'm going to watch the movie. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just going to Da Vinci Code. But if I'm going to the dollar show to watch a repeat of a movie, that there's something completely different going on there.
You're going to go see Avengers Endgame for like the 15th time in 2021. Yeah. You go there to go get a hand job in the fucking theater.
Oh, you're definitely getting the hand job if you're going to see
Spider-Man.
But it's going to
be epic if it's... I was going to say, it's going to be epic if it's Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Because you got that soundtrack going, right, guys? Yeah. Soundtrack. Yes.
And you know exactly where to go. So, yeah, that brings us to number 26, which is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah.
What?
That's a good soundtrack.
No, it's great. Yeah.
So Guardians of the Galaxy had a really good playlist on there. Elvin Bishop, Fooled Around and Fell in Love was one of the major songs that was on there. 10cc's I'm Not in Love. Obviously, the Jackson 5, I Want You Back, was very popular. I mean, that sold out tons of those baby damn Groots. So you had those. And then
Come and Get Your Love is on there.
Yes, that's Redbone. You got that. 25 is A Star is Born, which came out in 2018. I don't know,
the
man.
The original?
The Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper.
Lady Gaga?
Yeah, I was going to say.
The other one.
The other one, there's two other ones, right?
There's another one with
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
And Barbara Streisand.
Yep, and then there's one before that.
Judy Garland, and I forget who else is in that one.
I understand why. Gaga is, she's queen.
She's great.
Cooper had chemistry, so I don't know.
I think they were just trying to sell the movie. I don't believe that.
I didn't watch it, so I can't say, you know.
It was okay.
Well, there you go. Well, Jen, give us the insight.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think the original A Star is Born with Garland in it had a song, The Man That Got Away.
Yeah.
Great song.
Okay.
All right. But no, Lady Gaga is great. Did I like the movie? Hell no. I didn't like her character at all. She seemed like a selfish little bitch. But
Aaron. I'm sorry.
She did.
What? I didn't say anything.
And I didn't like Cooper's character. Oh, I'm so sad. And
I know I got the hot takes sometimes, but Don, I have to disagree.
Yeah, that one is.
I'm sorry. It's the wine. I'm sorry. But that's how I felt. It was like,
let's all attack Don.
That's
Let's
not
all
got
attack Don. Shame.
You just didn't like the character direction, right?
I didn't like it, man. I didn't like it. I didn't like how Gaga basically got propped it up and helped by this well-known artist, and he obviously had suicidal thoughts, and she didn't help him, and he didn't, and he was weak. He was weak. He was pretty goddamn weak.
Yeah, he was weak.
Yeah.
But also,
I know it's hard for me to say that.
Slightly hot take on addiction. I will say that.
I know.
No, not that part. No, I just thought the interaction between the two of them, they both were weak.
Yeah. Oh, weak performances, correct?
Weak performances, but also just the relationship between the two of them. It was not entirely believable, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will say, last thing I'll say on this, that I agree with you. When it comes to an addict being in a relationship with someone that is, not that I am like queen bee of all knowledge, according to this, but like when it comes to, it was not realistic.
Yeah.
The fact that the Gaga character was the way that she was and the way that he was. It didn't make sense. I agree with you.
As Wallace Shawn would say from A Princess Bride, inconceivable. That's what he
it was. A recent movie about a drummer who loses his hearing that was really good, but he was in a relationship with a woman that was also in his band. Have you seen that movie?
No.
That was good. Oh, damn it. I don't know. I lost my hearing.
That's kind of on the nose.
Damn, what is it? It was good.
To the Beat of Just One Drum? Is that the name of it?
Oh, you're fucking with me. No, yeah. I don't know.
I'm legitimately wanting to know, and you guys keep coming up with these fucked up.
I think.
Is it Drumline with Nick Cannon?
No, it was.
Is that on the list? John, is that on the list?
Hell no.
It better not fucking be. It better be. Is Lost Boys on the list, at least? No,
so. Okay, what? So let's just shoot through these next ones. Shutter Island, Martin Scorsese. That one was a good movie.
What?
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Yeah. So that one was good. 23, Mo Better Blues with Spike Lee, Denzel Washington. I like that one. It was all right.
Oh, shit. Is that a Spike Lee joint?
Yeah, it's a Spike Lee.
I would have put Malcolm X over that one.
But yeah.
Whatever. I've never seen that.
It has a really good jazz soundtrack, so I like that.
Okay.
22, Midnight Cowboy. Everybody's talking about. So that was a good one.
Dustin Hoffman
and
John Voight.
John Voight. Yeah. So yeah, that was the one. 21, Magical Mystery Tour, 1967. Now,
The Beatles?
Yeah. So
Yeah.
It had the Beatles soundtrack from their worst picture, the rambling, muddy looking made for TV Magical Mystery Tour is a chore to watch. All inside jokes are secondhand psychedelia. But the album is wall-to-wall classes, including The Fool on the Hill, I Am the Walrus, Hello, Goodbye, the title track, and the contemporaneous single, Strawberry Fields Forever, and All You Need Is Love.
Let me just be the first to say this real quick. Beatles, full of shit. Just saying.
Do you really?
Yeah. John Lennon was fucking asshole.
He's the most popular one, but you know what?
George was the best.
Yes.
George was the best.
The quiet George
was the best.
Yes, George was the best.
Yeah.
While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give it to him, Jen.
My Sweet Lord. My Sweet Lord is a good one. That's just for my...
Yeah, purposes. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, how the hell are they going to have that soundtrack and not A Hard Day's Night? Like, that's...
Jesus, Across the Universe.
Across the Universe was a... I remember that movie. Well, let's see if you guys can get on board with this one. Number 20, The Graduate. Dustin Hoffman. Anybody?
Yes.
Anybody?
Simon and Garfunkel,
yeah. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I only know that from Kingpin with Woody Harrelson. After he sleeps with the landlady.
I was going to say, I think one time that turned on when I was like violently ill and just shitting my brains out.
Yeah.
And that song started playing in the background. Same thing.
There's a band that does a cover of that, and it's really heavy metal. And
Korn.
Huh?
It'd be...
No, it's not Korn.
I was going to say, it'd be even better if it was like there was a ska version. You get horns in there. Hello, darkness, my old friend. And you start skanking to it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Disturbed. That's the name of the
band. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It sounds silent. Cool. So, yeah, they do that. Number 19, Easy Rider, which has a good soundtrack, too.
Hell yeah.
Shitty ending, but fantastic soundtrack. Man, I love that movie, especially Jack Nicholson's character.
Yeah.
I really was hurt when he died. If you haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert. I didn't even know he was in there.
Yeah, he's
in it. Yeah, young Jack. What, that was his second film?
So...
Please continue.
Number 18, The Big Chill, 1983. So that one had...
That's where a bunch of college people are dancing to music and doing the dishes and everything. And
is that Footloose?
But then doesn't someone have cancer? So it gets sad.
Of hippies turned yuppies sparked a renewed interest in 60s ideals during the heart of the Reagan era. So it has a lot of Motown classics in it and AM radio hits by the likes of Creedence Clearwater Revival and Procol harem.
So a movie about sellouts.
Well, I guess. So
yeah, yeah, yuppies.
That's putting it lightly.
I was going to say, real quick, a point of order. Best soundtrack, again, I keep changing my mind. Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Jesus
I had to mention Seal.
Seal.
Kiss from a Rose.
Yes.
I see. I don't know if you guys have, and I'll ask you guys after this. I have many memories of this soundtrack in particular because my dad would play it on the boat. Drinking, I think it was Rolling Rocks,
yeah,
maybe, and just like singing a kid from a rose on the grave and almost like fall over.
Do you think your dad has some memory associated with that song that he was?
Oh, he loved Seal.
My dad loved it.
Wow. He loved Seal. There was like he did Frank Sinatra, and then on occasion, you know, he would. Okay, so this what I told you earlier. He would do this, so he would probably. What did he say? Is like I can't be racist because I like Seal.
Yeah.
What?
He just picked the blackest guy that he could that he can like and be like, well, obviously, I can't be racist.
Like, guys, that's what I do at clubs. I can't be. Okay, let's stop. It's like, I got black friends.
Yeah, of course.
No, he had to pick the blackest guy.
I wouldn't go.
It's Seal and Wesley Snipes and God rest the soul, Charlie Murphy, I guess.
No, it'd be Bernie Mac in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
She's still getting blacker. She was Gaiden in Star Trek. Gaiden. You remember that? No? I'm a nerd.
Gaiden? Her name was Gaiden?
I thought it was
Gaiden. Yeah, she was like the black Yoda in the Star Trek
universe. She's Gaiden.
Her name is
Star
Gaiden.
Star Trek is the fleet, Starfleet. She's Gaiden Starfleet.
Oh. You didn't know that?
Bum.
She was a sci-fi nerd, and Gene Roddenberry created a role specific for her because she wanted to be involved. And she was like a black Yoda. You didn't know how old she was. She was just very knowledgeable. She loved it.
Well, see, that's the one thing about Star Trek. Time doesn't exist in space, so you can't have age. Jen, real quick question. Do you have, like, okay, so it's not your favorite soundtrack, but do you have any memories in particular, like being a kid? Some people have memories of Hook.
Yes.
I remember also Evita. Yeah, I had Evita, too. My mom loved that movie. Evita.
Yeah.
Which, you know, what is it? It was about a fascist dictator. Well, not Evita, but, you know, her husband.
Peron. What was her first name?
Yeah, Peron.
Ava Peron. Yeah.
Ava Peron, and then I can't remember her husband's name, but he was a piece of shit. Anyways, do you have any memories of soundtracks that you equate with like growing up?
Jurassic Park.
Yes. I mean,
there you go.
Always.
You can't beat that.
It brings you back, always.
Yeah.
John Williams is the man.
Yeah.
E.T.
E.T. Jurassic Park always is summer for me. Summer is Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear Jurassic Park, I'm already in that park with my like tight ass khaki shorts and just thinking like, how the fuck are these adults going to drive this Jeep through this park with all these dinosaurs?
Second question, real quick. Wouldn't dinosaurs just make movies better in general?
No. Because they want to...
Well, what if they raped people?
Wait, three men and a velociraptor?
Three men and a velociraptor.
What else? Instead of...
Oh, I get it now. You're replacing...
Yeah, you put a dinosaur in there. Let's see, what else can we do? Thinking of old-timey... It's a Wonderful Life, but instead of Clarence being an angel, he's a brontosaurus. No?
Jen didn't like the idea of dinosaurs raping people, but I thought that was a
Jesus Christ, that's where you went. I didn't go there.
Yeah, I just went there like a minute ago. You didn't
what
catch
kind
it.
What wine is this you drinking?
He had a lot of wine.
I had a good day. I'm sorry. My friend is here. My friends are here, and it's like the old times of Wayne State, man. We didn't even talk about how we all met yet. We'll get through. I think John is like, what, number 50 on the list of the fucking soundtrack? Like, we keep interrupting.
Number 17.
I'm sorry.
Number 17. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Keep going.
We're almost there.
Almost there. Dirty Dancing.
That's only 17. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick
Swayze, yeah. So you have the Ronettes, pre-Beatles, the Five Satins.
What's better, Dirty Dancing or Roadhouse? I say Roadhouse.
I like Dirty Dancing, man. I just...
The guy's going to say Roadhouse, right?
Yeah. Roadhouse.
Fucking Roadhouse.
Neither.
Roadhouse.
Neither. Not a Patrick Swayze fan.
What about Ghost?
Oh, Ghost.
Ghost.
Yeah, I'll get Ghost. I'll get on board with Ghost.
What about Ghost Dad with
Whoopi
Cosby?
Makes everything better.
Jesus Christ.
Come on, Don. Come on. Bring it back home, Don. Bring it back home. Bring it back home.
I'm drinking Cosby wine. I'm sorry.
Bring it back home. We don't want to set those people off. Bring it back home, Don.
This is Cosby wine. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Cosby shit.
Wine. Ghost Dad wasn't a bad film.
And number 16. No.
There you go. Number 16.
Number 16, The Bodyguard, which was good.
Rest in peace, Whitney Houston.
Yeah, so you had Whitney, and then you had Kevin Costner, so a Kevin Costner film.
Speaking of Whitney, I just recently watched Waiting to Exhale. That's also a very good
That's your
time.
First time watching it?
No, again, I watched
it.
Again.
Oh, okay.
That was a good soundtrack, too.
Yeah.
Did you know, fun fact, that I Will Always Love You was written by Dolly Parton?
Yes, didn't know that. Yeah.
I saw Whitney in person. Did you know that? In Atlanta. Did I tell you?
You
this?
Mentioned this, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I tell the same stories over again. I'm like an old man.
It's still a good story.
Not really, because she didn't acknowledge me, but she was at the mall, and she was looking glorious like she did when she did the anthem at the Super Bowl, but I was so cool as a kid, I was just like, you know. Like, my brother was like, oh, shit, you know who that is? That's Whitney Houston. I'm like, you know.
I think most of us don't obsess about celebrity. I think
I was never that way. Ever.
Neither was I. The only time I tried to reach out to a celebrity and be like, hey, Alec Baldwin, fuck you.
And you hate Alec Baldwin?
Did he really? Did he
no,
really
no,
that?
Alec Baldwin said fuck you to me.
Really?
I can see that. I can see that. That tracks. Yeah,
dude,
I
got Tom Green autograph when I was at the airport once.
Jesus Christ, why?
I was young, man. Fuck, Tom Green was like everything.
He was the shit. He was the pinnacle of comedy at one time.
At one time, yeah.
Was he ahead of his time?
I think he peaked early. 100%. He peaked early. And then that thing with Drew Barrymore kind of fucked him over at that point.
But I would say his comedy, the way that he did things, led to... It's weird because a lot of the stuff that happens now, they take from him. But the other thing, too, is that you could also say that CKY was doing the same stuff. Sans a talk show.
Yeah.
CKY was like Jackass, Bam Margera and all that stuff. Yeah. That was happening, I think, around maybe the same time.
I don't know. Would they have canceled him? He probably would have got
probably.
Canceled.
100%.
Yeah.
He would have got canceled.
Number 15, Trainspotting. So that's...
Hell yes.
Yeah.
So, I've never seen that.
Danny Boyle.
A film about Scottish heroin addicts shouldn't feel as full of life as Trainspotting does. Credit director Danny Boyle, screenwriter John Hodd, and a set of songs that exemplify wastrel cool. The film and the soundtrack both kick off with Iggy Pop, Exultant Ode to Decadence, Lust for Life. And what follows is a mixed track of range from druggy glam, Lou Reed's Perfect Day, to post-punk disco, New Order's Temptation, to 90s rave faves, Underworld, Born Slippy, Nux. The music mostly pretty and mostly danceable, but is underlaid throughout with a sense of worldly danger. Oh shit, this is a good one. Number 14, Repo Man. You guys remember that one?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Who's the Repo Man? I don't remember.
Emilio Estevez.
Damn. Yeah. Is he like the most... like on this list so far? Because he's like on this like three times.
Was it Judgment Day, Repo Man? What else?
That was it. Those are the only two.
You got Mighty Ducks on there?
No, not on there. But we're getting to number 13, which I'm surprised has made the list. Belly.
Oh,
who made this list?
That's not very surprising.
Well, I shouldn't say I'm surprised it made the list, but to be as high as it is.
Wait a minute now. All right, where he gets this list from, John? I don't know.
This is
about
Vulture, so this is their top 40. This was from 2018.
I don't know about this.
Well, you have prejudice against Belly to begin with.
Hey, let's take it easy.
Okay. No, it's probably a good soundtrack. I'm not down that. And
well, this is a way to determine Don, if it's a good soundtrack. John, is Shawshank Redemption on there?
No.
Okay, this is a bullshit list.
No, it's not, because it has some really good, it has some good stuff on here. It got some good stuff on here.
Yeah, because you, shit you like.
No, I mean, it's I think we would all agree that these next, the top 12 is pretty damn good. All right, so let's go. Wild Style, that was 1983. I don't know that one, so I've lost all validation at that point. Number 11, Footloose. That was a good one. Number 10, Kill Bill. Number 9,
yes.
Rushmore.
Yep.
Number 8, Pretty in Pink. Number 7, Saturday Night Fever.
Mm-hmm,
number 6, mm-hmm. The Harder They Come. I haven't heard of that one. Number 5, of course, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, no way you laughed at that.
Yeah. Soggy Bottom Boys, man.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
That's actually one of my... And then Oh Death. I don't remember who sings that, but I've always been in the old-timey, like, Appalachian music. Yeah. Like, Appalachian music.
Yeah.
What, Candy Mountain?
Yeah, Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Big Rock Candy Mountain, man. One can dream. One can dream.
Yep. And then number 4 is Purple Rain. Number 3 is, of course, Shaft. Oh. Number
3. Yeah. Oh, come on, man.
Oh, really?
Are you kidding me? Hell yeah.
Yeah,
Chef.
No, yes. But that just reminded me
but
of something.
But it's just that
else.
One
what
song.
Superfly.
Superfly is number 2.
Fuck yeah. That's a good list.
Yeah.
That's a good fucking list.
Yeah. And number 1 is American Graffiti.
I completely disagree. Superfly should have been first.
Yeah.
Superfly should have been first. I agree.
Superfly. Curtis Mayfield? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not hating on the list for that. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
But not a Hard Day's Night. I disagree with that. As far as the Beatles is concerned,
we need to be very mindful of this list, because if you listen to the top 10 best single artist soundtracks ever, you'll be highly disappointed. So that's something we would have to discuss in part 2.
Is this off of Vulture?
Yes.
Okay, so Vulture is not reputable.
It's the New Yorker.
Wait, it's the New Yorker?
Yeah, it's a part of the New Yorker, I think.
Man.
Yeah.
Around the Horn. Let's go top 5 without even thinking. What's your top 5
shit.
Soundtrack?
So, top...
Or John, go.
I'm ready to go. Top 5. E.T., Hook, let's see, Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and then I'm going to go Jurassic Park, and then I'm going to go For the Win... Star Wars.
Jen, you go.
Probably Jurassic Park. Number 1, Purple Rain. E.T.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm shocked about Hook. I thought I was the only one that loved Hook.
No,
it's a fantastic soundtrack.
It's inspiring.
Yeah.
Do I get to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fancy man Aaron.
Let's see here. Shawshank Redemption, Batman Forever, Top Gun, Lord of the Rings. That every single one, because it's all the same. And then, you know, I was going to say, but how many is that? Is that 4?
That's 4.
Yeah, so I got one more. Let's see here. Or the 5th one's going to be tough. I'm going to have to say There Will Be Blood.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, that's a good one.
There you go.
Oh, all right, Jurassic Park, Hook, Dark Knight, 5 Heartbeats.
Yes.
Surprising one for me.
Yes, Don, yes.
It just, actually, my wife, she loved that movie so much. And I remember watching it when I was a kid in the movie theater. And I liked it, but so the 5 Heartbeats, Dark Knight, Jurassic Park, Hook, and then it's gonna be probably
the movie Beaches. Jen got it.
Beaches. What was that? Barbara Streisand.
Bette
Midler. Yes.
Is it Barbara Hershey?
Dollar store Barbara Streisand.
Oh, good.
I said it.
Mayim Bialik plays a young Barbara Streisand, right?
Oh, okay. Shit.
No, it's not Barbara Streisand. It's Bette Midler.
Yeah, it's Bette Midler. That's why it was a dollar store Barbara Streisand.
Oh, shit. my 5th would be Once. I figured it out. My
really?
Brain, yep. My brain cooperated with me.
It's a really good soundtrack.
I mean, the music is so good, it makes the film.
Damn, what was the 5th one that was like, yo?
Ghostbusters 2. That's a good soundtrack.
Yeah, it is.
Damn, Jackie Wilson.
Ghostbusters, man. Ghostbusters. What is that?
Ray Parker.
The whole song's about busting.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm busting.
Busting makes me feel good.
Busting makes me feel good.
I know. Am I the only one that when that lyric comes on, I'm...
Oh, I laugh.
Yeah.
Laugh all the fucking time.
Yeah. Saving Private Ryan's, I did like...
No, that's a good soundtrack.
Yeah. I did like the soundtrack. Ooh. I did.
Let's see. Well, let's just real quick. There is another one.
Kill Bill.
Dream.
Yes. Kill Bill.
Kill Bill is good, and Requiem for a Dream is good, too. because that one, that soundtrack had me on the edge of my seat.
Well, shit, actually, any Darren Aronofsky film, you have The Fountain, that was an insane soundtrack, and then Black Swan.
Black Swan.
That was
that's a good one.
Never saw Mother.
Mother, I didn't see.
It was just too on the nose for me.
Yeah,
it was
just like, oh, Mother Earth. She's Mother Earth. Yeah. Okay.
Lost Boys. Fucking Lost Boys. I love the Lost Boys.
Yeah. But yeah, so in general, above the rim, like this, we all have the Crow.
Did you say
the Crow? Yes.
Yeah.
Holy
did you say above the rim?
Above the rim.
Above the rim. Tupac, Death Row. Hell yeah, man.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yes.
Yes, that's a good one.
So,
Memento. That was my thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
My whole thing is that we look at it like this. In our lives, we have our own.
Love Jones.
We have our own personal soundtracks that we love and that, you know, is a part of us every day, you know, going through our daily lives. We have our own movies. We're all the hero in our stories, but sometimes we're the villains in others. And soundtracks, I think without a soundtrack, a movie is not a movie. Life is not life without music.
That was a good soundtrack. The Life with Eddie Murphy and...
Jesus Christ.
that was
a good one.
That was. Eddie Murphy. That was
did
a good
you hear
one.
The romanticism coming from my mouth?
No, I just...
This is... You're like... You're rambling, Aaron. You're rambling.
Well, as soon as you said Life, that popped in my mind. That
yeah.
Yeah.
It's Eddie a great Murphy movie. So do you guys ever like... Well, you know, when you go to the gym, you have a soundtrack. When you, I don't know, when I'm fucking walking, I have a soundtrack. When I'm fucking driving in the middle of a field, or driving in the middle of a field. Now I sound like a serial killer.
Are you mowing down farmers? Just
no, it's just, you know, I'm trying to figure out where I'm burying people. Anyways, Radiohead. That was always a thing. You know, you're a teenager, you're driving around, and it's like you think the world is in the palm of your hands. And then, you know, 3 years later, you realize, God, fuck this.
Yo, man,
Radiohead and Portishead, they are soundtracks.
Well, Yo La Tango, too, that's another one that I listen to.
Well, I
just fucking
that
walking
one
around, I fucking get stoned off your ass. Well, you don't have to do that, but you know, that's what I do to relax, you know. And I listen to Radiohead and I walk around my neighborhood and, you know, look into people's look into people's windows and pretend what my life would be if I was in there.
Jesus Christ, what are you doing?
Fucking crazy.
You're a fucking night stalker.
You know, one that I liked the soundtrack for, but it was only one song that played over and over again. It was Gremlins. That song.
How did that go?
Yeah. The same song over and over again. They didn't do anything different. It was just that same fucking song playing over and over again.
He's a spider gremlin.
Yeah. Oh, Disney. No Disney soundtracks. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do Disney. That's the obvious one.
Yeah, yeah. Little Mermaid.
Says you.
Beauty and the Beast.
Disney soundtracks.
Don't hate.
I'm gonna shit all over your parade.
No, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin.
I always really liked in Lady and the Tramp when Tramp's in the dog pound, that one dog. He's a tramp, but I love him. That one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sing it, Jen.
Yeah, it's go like, ahead, take
it's
us home,
a good song.
No. Home Alone.
Yeah.
Oh, Home Alone. That's a good one. That's John Williams, isn't it?
Isn't that?
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
Maybe I should stop because I'm going to start shitting over everyone's parades. Lady and the Tramp, isn't that We Are Siamese, if you please?
Yes, I'm not talking about that song, Aaron.
Let's not forget about that, Disney.
Yeah, Disney has some very racist overtones. Cause
They had some bangers.
Everybody Wants to Be a Cat had that cat playing the piano with the chopsticks.
Yeah, so, oh, God.
And I'm not going to repeat the lyrics, but
no,
let's just say that Disney really needed to have a PR team to handle that. It was just outrageous.
You think they can get away with that now? Probably not.
Hell no. They're having a hard time now with Shang-Chi. Because Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, one of the directors or the producer said this is a fun experiment. And it just, the actor was like, no, this isn't an experiment. This is our life, you know, that we're talking about here, you know. And they didn't do that with Black Panther. Like, they didn't say it like that with Black Panther, but to say it like that with this all-Asian cast.
I like the Black Panther soundtrack. Yeah. I don't know if it was actually highly rated or anything.
I remember it was good. I liked it.
What is it? Yeah, it was highly... Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, I was going to say King Kendrick did the soundtrack.
Yeah.
King Kendrick?
Yeah. Well,
Aaron, you're so woke. I love it.
Aaron is so woke.
I'm sorry, it's the wine.
I do too.
I'm probably the least woke, guys. Yeah.
I know. I keep editing you.
Well, guys, do we have anything else to add? Because I think that might be our curtain call.
Yeah, I think that might be it, man. We'll have to do a part two, TV shows and stuff. Jen, you got to come back.
We want to say from the bottom of our hearts, all three of us, thank you, Jen, for being a part of this.
Thank you, Jen. Yay!
Thank you.
You got to come back and bring some more insight on...
Bring my lady insight.
Yeah. Do you feel like you sufficiently did that? Like,
I really hope so. I mean, I got a Waiting to Exhale reference in there, so...
You're goddamn right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do we have any things that we want to put at the end of this?
Any shout-outs?
We definitely want to shout out our Instagram and our Twitter to have people interact with us. It's been a little slow moving because I've been literally moving, so I haven't had a chance to really post too much. But
yeah, I was going to say, we post episode updates and whatnot, and then two people on a podcast gave us a shout-out on iTunes. We appreciate that. Says, I absolutely recommend you listen. Thank you for recommending to people to listen to us and my bullshit and John's bullshit and Don's bullshit and now Jen's bullshit.
We're sharing the shit.
A friend of mine from high school who listens, he said we're his favorite podcast now, Dino Martino. Aww. So I'm gonna shout out.
I like Martino.
I like that guy.
And then we also got to give a shout out to Jimmy Porn. Yeah. Good to see you again, buddy.
Jimmy P.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Hey, guys. It's Aaron. You think you could do me a big fave? Wherever you're listening to this right now, rate and subscribe. Find new episodes every Wednesday where you listen to podcasts. And look for us on all the social media sites and Gmail at afterschoolspecialpodcast@gmail, afterschoolspecialpodcast@Instagram and Facebook, and afterschoolspe3 on Twitter. Sofia Coppola is very good, don't get me wrong. But that movie in particular, fuck.
All right, so...
we will... Fuck. Sorry. I assure you...